Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here with two of my favorite people, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, good to see you.
It's good to see you, and I just want to be sure that everybody knows, we've talked about it before, we've got a brand new workshop coming up in January.
So exciting.
That workshop, I'll tell you, it's going to be pretty amazing. All you have to do is go to newlife.com to find out about it, but I'll tell you right now, that it's January the 25th, 26th, 27th in D.C. It's a New Life weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. That's what God enables us to do if we'll just follow a few directions. And, of course, that therein lies the difficulty of life, following
yes,
directions.
Putting them into practice.
But if you'll do it, oh my goodness, there's nothing but good things to follow. We're going to talk about forgiveness. You know, it's so difficult for us to forgive. And we're going to talk about being dependent in an unhealthy way on people versus dependent on God in a healthy way. And we'll talk about this thing of false self-living, where really you truly are not living out the person that God wants you to be. It's the false self. And we want to get you out of that into the real self. We'll talk about the spin cycle, as I call it, of shame. And I've been there, and if you've been there, it's a horrible place to live. And there's only one person that, or one thing that benefits, and that's Satan. And so call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. January 25th, New Life Weekend, and it's called Finding Freedom, and we want to help you find freedom. All right, let's go to our calls. Why mess around? Let's just do it here. And let's go over here to Thomas from Reading, Pennsylvania. Hey, Thomas, how you doing? Listens on WBYN, and we sure are glad that you do.
Hi. Yes.
How can we help today?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How can we help you?
I had to put my phone on the battery to recharge it because we were almost out of energy there, and I didn't want to lose my call.
Well,
my call
okay.
is concerning about my mate. We're not legally married. There's a marriage license sitting on the table right now collecting dust. We were supposed to be married over a month ago, but I had to have her put in the hospital because she suffers from a traumatic brain injury, which was so severe when she had a seizure one day when she was driving. Yeah, I had to put her in a reduced coma. That happened back in 2014. Now, I want to give you a quick update. The first time I ever met her was in 2000, waiting in a waiting room at a doctor's office. She walked into the room, and we made eye contact, and it was like something supernatural happened. We did not react on it or anything like that. But we talked and stuff, and we knew there was something there. 1 year later, she comes walking into the doctor's waiting room, and I'm sitting there, and the same thing's there. She's married. She's in an abusive relationship. Her husband was an alcoholic. He wouldn't quit drinking, so she stayed with him until he died, I believe, in 2013. And then me and Ronnie by the grace of God, just happened to run into each other one day. I used to pray this psalm.
Lord, I want you to hold on. I've got to go to a break here. You hold on, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop, and man, we're really hearing a tough, tough story. Mm-hmm. And so, go ahead there and just, Thomas, you're living together, you're not married. That's one part of what we heard. Is that right?
Well, no, we're not actually living together.
Okay. Not living together, but you love her, you care about her, you'd marry her at any time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was in 2016 we met again, and her husband had passed away.
Uh-huh.
And I was still single. I was married once in 1974, and our marriage ended in 77. I'm 100% combat disabled veteran in Vietnam. I'm 67, she's 61.
Okay. So tell us what's
anyway,
going on. You were really emotional, mm-hmm. and we sure understand that. But help us understand what's going on, okay?
Well, you know, I put off the marriage date because I wanted us to get some Christian counseling for marriage couples, even mm-hmm. after we were older.
Right.
And we both carried a lot of baggage around with us.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie was adopted when she was a baby by a wealthy Jewish family because she's Jewish.
Okay.
And then the family ended up able to have children. And she went from the first in the family to being put in last place.
Okay, but let's talk about what you're dealing with right now. Tell us.
Well, what I'm dealing with right now is, since I am not legally married, I have no rights whatsoever.
Okay.
I have no rights of information.
Oh, because she's in the hospital.
She's out of the hospital now.
Okay.
And she's at her daughter's house. And, you know, Ronnie comes over and stuff. They say, you got to take her cell phone away from her. She's calling 911 too much because she goes through hallucinations, delusions, paranoia, and stuff like that. And I should have said, no, I ain't doing that. I tried that before. You know, but I did. I took the phone away from her, and she ran out. And I called 911 about 8:30, and I never found out any information until 1:45 the next morning. That somehow she got from Reading to her daughter's house. Still don't know how she got there.
Okay.
And I talked with her daughter since then, but now they have cut off complete communications. There is no protection of abuse against her from me. There's no abuse involved here.
All right, now,
harassment.
Okay,
my thing is,
how could we help you?
What rights or what avenue do I have to see if she's okay? Yeah. She's afraid of her daughter.
All right, now listen. You
got
to listen to me, okay?
Ryan,
hey, you
got
to listen to me. Thomas, Thomas, you got to listen to me, okay?
Yeah.
You have a legal question. and we can't answer the legal question. And so you have to call the local authorities. You have to ask about that, and then you can only do whatever you can do based on your your finances,
I have
whatever.
That. All so, I can do is but, wait.
But here's what we can help you with, and that is what you do in the meantime. And Jill, you want to address
Thomas,
that?
I'm wondering, have you had a relationship with her children, with her daughter? I mean, it sounds like you've been in the picture for a while now. And so,
well, I have visited at the home at one time when me and Ronnie first met each other again, and we didn't even know who each other was. Her daughter thought I was the most greatest person in the world.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden, it's changed. They're not believers as Ronnie and I are. Ronnie's a messianic Jew. As I was trying to say before, I would pray the psalm about, Lord says, if you obey my commands and my ways, I'll give you my heart's desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I know you're not talking necessarily about a person, but I'm asking for someone to come into my life. And I said, you know something, Lord, while you're at it, why don't you give me a Jewish girl? And all that happened.
Okay. Well, what we want to do, though, is help you deal with whatever we can right now. That's the main thing.
Right. And so the daughter thought you were the greatest, and then I guess I'm wondering what has shifted, and have you reached out to the daughter? Because it seems like just as Ronnie's friend, even, that why wouldn't the daughter want to let you know how she's doing?
Her daughter's controlling.
Okay.
She's a control type freak.
Okay.
I say they're not believers. Her and I have disagreed on some things, and I don't think she appreciates that I have brought more spirituality in Ronnie's life as well. I've tried to get her in touch with her Jewish roots.
Okay, but still. Even if there's disagreements, Thomas, it seems like, someone who's a close friend, a dating relationship, when someone is ill, to be able to, if she's controlling, let her control and tell you what's going on. To say, can I come visit Ronnie? I want to know how she's doing. Would you keep me informed? Is there anything I can do to help you? I know this is a lot. Sometimes, you have to fan them a little bit. I know that this is a lot for you to take on. I'm here. I'm willing to help. How can I come alongside you? And you try to become an ally of the daughter instead of highlighting the differences.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's your best.
You've got to win the daughter
strategy.
Over.
Yeah, make friends with the daughter.
Yeah, don't be combative with her. Don't highlight that she's controlling. Go with it. Let her be controlling and see how you can fit in alongside of her.
If the motive truly is to help Ronnie, then you've got to resign from any kind of control that you might want to have because you're kind of at their mercy. I hope that's something we've said here.
Especially if she's not always in her right mind, right? So you're not able to directly communicate with her.
Yeah,
and that makes it really difficult. I feel for you, Thomas. You're in a really tough spot.
I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I hope and pray that that's something that you can use. It'll benefit you, and hang in there with her.
Yeah.
It sounds like she really needs you a lot there. All right, let's go to Alex, Falls Church, Virginia, listening on WAVA. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. I'm just very worried about my relationship with my wife because the question I have is she's masturbating every night or very early in the morning every day. I make believe that I'm not aware of it, that I'm sleeping, but that's happening, and I really don't know what to do in this case.
Well, have you talked to her about it? Does she know that you're aware of it?
I mentioned that please don't take care of yourself like that, I'm here. But the thing is, she tells me, well, you're not covering my needs. We're not having a normal relationship.
So what is the...
One second, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just, what is the source of the problem, why you're not being intimate with each other? Well, yeah, okay, so why aren't you guys being intimate with each other? All right, well, maybe we can get back to him there, I don't know. Oh, that's a rough one, but I got to tell you, it is more common than you could ever imagine that having sex with yourself eliminates any possibility with the other person. That's why I say, you know, if you could just, if everything sexual in that marriage relationship is known by, approved by, and involving your spouse, you would sure save yourself so much heartache.
Well, right. And you know, it does speak to maybe how the rest of the relationship is going and what the trust level is there.
Yeah.
You know, if she doesn't trust him, she's not going, and she doesn't feel emotionally connected to him, then she's not going to give herself to him.
Well, there's also the unconscious habitual element to
true.
It that probably may have even started when she was young.
Form of self-soothing.
Right. And she's a high anxiety person who soothes herself
that
way.
That could be too.
Well, you know, and I've said it many times here, sexual intimacy is such a powerful thing. It's so fantastic when it is, everything's right. And it's just no wonder that Satan does everything possible, you know, to mess it up with everybody. And so I just hope and pray that he'll listen to this program when it airs, and he will hear us say this. Whatever it is that is standing between the two of you being intimate, express to her a willingness to do whatever it is on your part to take care of, you know, as we say, your side of the street. And rather than say, please don't do that, you know, ask her, what is it that I could do that would bring us together so that we are truly in this together, meeting each other's needs? Because we both have these needs. And for us to be doing this on our own, it's just not causing us anything good to be happening here. So I would really up my conversation about it with her, not from a standpoint of don't, but a standpoint of let's look at some options.
Seek to understand.
Right.
Without shaming, yeah.
Yeah. And any kind of sexual issue is really a communication issue, because the sexual part of a marriage is a form of communication. And usually you stop talking about it, and then you stop having sex together, and then you think you got to start back with having sex together. Well, the way you start back is talking about it. And sometimes you need help to talk about it in constructive ways.
Right. So, I don't know. I hope you'll listen. I hope that what we've said here is helpful to you, because obviously she has needs that simply are being met in a way that's keeping the two of you apart. You know, when we talk about sexual integrity in our marriage intensive, which that's going to take place in November, we talk to the guys about sexual fulfillment being a process of where a woman feels so safely connected that she can, you know, stop all of the defensiveness, the vigilante inside that may have developed when she was a child. It just dies, and there's kind of a neural failure there, and she can relax into sexual fulfillment. But if she's afraid, if she's not connected, then, you know, the guard is up. And it, and in the same way with men, just the reverse can take place. It's amazing how the stereotype of one, now it's common with both. So we've got to, everybody's got to be doing whatever they possibly can do to make the best of using this great gift of intimacy and getting attuned with each other, trying to understand where each other is, rather than, hey, let's go have some sex here and see what good can come of it. More bad sex is never the answer. And I was saying to the guys the other day, I was speaking to a group of men, and I said, you know, if you look at Scripture and it says not to withhold sex from each other, if you ever find yourself using that and quoting that to your wife, if that's all you've got, then you got to get some help for both of you.
You're not connecting.
Her. Yeah, you need to get some help.
You can't lecture someone into having sex.
No, you can't.
Right? So. That really doesn't,
doesn't
do it, especially for most women.
Yeah. You're listening to New Life Live. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of our phone calls here, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anybody supporting this ministry, I'm going to send you
that on Alex?
A calendar. It's a thank you gift. It's the 2019 calendar filled with beautiful photos and reflecting on the seasons, the months. They're quotes from the Arterburn Wellness Series. There's a Bible verse to focus on that month. It's a great, great way to build your faith throughout the year. We'll send it to you.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And, you know, a lot of people, they end up asking the question, well, is, you know, having sex with yourself, is that a bad thing? Well, there's a lot of debate about that, of course, but there are certain instances where there's no debate. There's certain times where we know it simply is not good. When it becomes a retreat away from a relationship, we know that cannot be a good thing. When it becomes compulsive, when it's out of control, that there's no question. When it causes emotional and physical damage, that's not good. So here was a case where this isn't good. It's absolute, you know, no matter what your thoughts are about it, in this particular case, there's no way that this can be a good thing for anybody. So I'm really glad that he called, and I hope that he'll you know.
Hope he gets some help with it, because whatever he's doing hasn't worked so far.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Michael. And Michael's calling from Houston, Texas. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. How can we help today?
I've never done anything like this before, so I don't really know where to start. I became a Christian October 5th of 1997. I got married when I was 18. And before I was a Christian, I had become addicted to drugs and alcohol, but the Lord set me free from that. And for the last 20 years, I was going after God, and God was putting me into the ministry. And my wife had went off the deep end and went back to drugs, and she was stealing from my son's education fund. So I went through a divorce. I ended up getting full custody. But through that divorce, losing my marriage and everything, I started drinking again, and I had backslidden. I never really felt like I walked away from the Lord, but the weight in my gut was so heavy, I just made some wrong choices. And I drank a lot of beer through that season. And through that season, I ended up falling in love with another woman who was a new Christian. And I don't know if I gave myself enough time for healing and everything I needed to, but we ended up getting married in this March. And I've been getting along a lot stronger. I feel like my relationship with God has been coming back through. But I don't know if I've lost some of my confidence or security, but I just don't feel secure in myself. And I find myself having a really hard time trusting my wife. And I don't know where all that's coming from.
Okay. And what is the question for us specifically? Anything specific you can think of?
Specifically, I guess, why I wouldn't trust her. Or I found out some of her past that had bothered me. And I chose to go on with this relationship anyways. But I think sometimes that rises up within me, and I have a hard time dealing with it. Some of the things she had been arrested for before, but I know it's under the blood of Jesus, and I need to let that go, and I'm really struggling with it.
Okay, so let's try to come up with something we can help you with. I think we got to go back to you being freed from the alcohol problem. Okay, can we go back to that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so when you were freed from that, then what did you do? God gave you this gift where you weren't just totally obsessed with needing a drink every minute. What did you do with that? Did you get into any kind of recovery?
No, I didn't. I was in a men's group, and the desire was totally gone. I was a member of the Mormon Church.
All right. So here's the thing. There's a difference between the desire being gone. I'll let Dave finish up on this. There's a difference between the desire being gone and character being built. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So just because we don't have a desire to do something we've enjoyed doing or become dependent on doesn't mean, well, life is the same for us as it is for everybody else. Because quite frankly, the more we are into the alcohol or the drug or whatever, the less opportunity to grow. Dave, you want to take it from here, and then Jill?
Well, it's the difference between just stopping and starting something new. And you've got two things working against you, Michael. One is, I doubt if you've really worked through the issues that were related to your wife's relapse and the falling away and the end of the marriage. And that stirs up the fear inside of you of your current wife relapsing. But it also stirs up the fear of your own relapse, because you haven't done the work to build the character that needs to be built to where you can deal with the fears and the anxieties and do something.
Well, I think that's why the anxiety's coming up, because at some level you're really aware of that, Michael.
Yeah.
That you kind of don't have a solid enough foundation underneath you to weather the storms.
And while it might not sound like it, this is the good news here, that things come to a screeching halt and you start to deal with life in a different way than you've ever dealt with it before. We'll have more about this right after this on New Life Live.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Doesn't get much better than that. We're talking with Michael from Houston, Texas, KKHT. That's where he listens. And he's been married 8 months. A little bit insecure. Dave,
second marriage.
Jill, your thoughts.
I think, Michael, where we left off, you need to do some confidence building by getting into a recovery group or recovery program. I think you need to go back now and do some of the foundational work that will make you feel secure that when you hit those tough times that you have a place to go and you don't fall back into the old patterns. Like you've done the previous time.
Well, and your wife needs to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You both need to do that.
It'd be great for you guys to go together. To just shore yourselves up. Don't wait till the crisis hits. So many people just do crisis management in their lives, and they run to a therapist, and they run to things when they're in crisis. And as soon as they feel a little bit better, they stop.
They're done.
Right? And you need to be doing the work while you have a little bit of sanity about you to really process things and to dig deeper and to see your patterns and to make different choices.
Yeah. What do you think? Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, I believe it is. I just feel flabbergasted. And she'll get upset at me and go to her mom's. And I'll just get so insecure wondering what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll text her the most horrible things. And the next day I'm like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even like in my character. I mean, I was literally going into the ministry. And I do feel like I've done some character building in the past. And
okay.
I think the divorce and losing that, I was going to be an ordained evangelist to Assembly of God. I mean, I was very confident. And it's like, I don't know what happened to me. I got custody of my son, but it's like it took something out of me, and I'm trying to get that back.
Hey,
and God has
listen,
brought me through that, and I feel like I'm quit. On the other side of it. But I'm,
okay, look. Look, you got to listen for a minute. You got to quit trying to get it back. Everything's different now.
Mm-hmm.
Try to start over. Try to do something different in a different way. God wants to do a new thing. Okay?
Right, and he wants to help you integrate the good and bad parts of yourself. It's not about just being in an all-good place.
Yeah.
It's realizing your limitations, your weaknesses, you know, and then doing things that help you to protect yourself from those,
mm-hmm.
from falling into the same pits.
Yep, so you're going to,
it's moving forward to a deeper place.
Right.
Send him a Life Recovery Bible.
Send you a Life Recovery Bible. I hope that's going to help you. It's helped so many people. Just mention, 3 million people out there have benefited from this Bible. And I'll also mention that Prison Fellowship just adopted it, and prisoners get their magazine, fill out a card, and they get a free Bible when they want it from their minister. Oh, it's just fantastic. It's wonderful.
Hey,
so,
it suddenly got cold in the studio.
Did it?
Yeah.
Like a breeze from Alaska.
Like
coming
a breeze
in.
From Alaska came in.
Oh, well, who is there in that studio?
Tom and Kathy Stiegelman, visiting the studio from Anchorage, Alaska.
If you are listening to KATB...
I'm going, what are you talking about?
Tom and Kathy,
all of a sudden I look over.
Tom and Kathy from Anchorage are right there in our studio. So I feel bad for Alaska. They're missing... them, but we get to be with them. So hello, Tom and Kathy, and thanks for all you've done. They have been broadcasting on KETB, our program, from the beginning, and so welcome to them, and thanks to all broadcasters who help us get this message out there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, we want to help you. And whether, it's having you in the studio from Alaska to cool it off, whatever it is that we can do to help you and you help us, we're all in this together. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. All right, let's go over and let's talk with Lorraine from Princeton, New Jersey, WFIL. Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, sitting in my car. It's a beautiful day.
Good.
Not driving.
Well, how can we
can
help?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
We can hear you
quite
yes.
well.
Yes, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
We're here.
So
okay,
the whole world can hear you.
I wanted to get input from you. What your thoughts are about a doctor prescribing medical marijuana for someone who has Tourette syndrome and ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so who's he prescribing this for, or she?
He's not prescribing it yet. It's my granddaughter. She's 16 years old.
Okay.
And is it a derivative of marijuana or just straight marijuana? Do you know?
No, it would be medical marijuana. They're gonna
right.
being legalized in New Jersey soon.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is legal now.
Right.
They did legalize it.
Well, let me say this.
Hello?
We're here.
I have attention deficit disorder, and any kind of medication I've taken for that, marijuana, it wouldn't make sense. And so mm-hmm. if it is appropriate, it would be something related to the Tourette's, and of course we can't really judge that. So if mm-hmm. she were to get on this, then you'd want to look at the number one indicator, did it help? Or did it make things worse? Did mm-hmm. all of a sudden she stop mm-hmm. wanting to be with other people? Did her grade performance go down? All sorts of things like that. Those are the kind of things to look for
mm-hmm.
to see if it's appropriate or not. Are the results there? That's the issue.
I've heard nothing about ADHD.
Well, if you're highly anxious, it would be calming. But are they prescribing marijuana for medical uses, or are they doing the CDC oil that is used in sometimes with cancer patients and things
that's more for
and
pain.
That's not addictive. But straight marijuana would be addictive. It would be calming. But at 16 years old, with the brain still developing, I would not want to give my child marijuana. And my child is ADHD. So I would not be doing that. I would find other forms to calm and work with the child, because that's awful young.
But it's your granddaughter. Your limited in what you can do.
But yes, is medical marijuana addictive?
Yes.
Well, it depends on what form they give it to you in.
Okay.
So if it has the THC in it, yes, it's addictive.
Oh, okay.
Even though people, you know, young people try to argue that it isn't, but it absolutely is, and it does do things to your brain. It does change your brain, not for the better.
Oh, okay.
So you don't want to give it to a... Go ahead.
Okay. I think my daughter used the CDC oil.
Okay.
And it didn't really seem to help her. Now, this is what I think. Now, I'm not really sure. I could be wrong. I think that my granddaughter might have gotten some street marijuana. The illegal.
Uh-huh.
And it may... She said it really helped her.
Yes, it will calm her down.
One of the reasons why, this is one of the reasons why she is trying to get her mom to get on the medical marijuana.
So her mom needs to take her to a specialist, right? A psychiatrist that specializes in these kinds of syndromes, and she needs to get on medication that will help to calm down her brain, that's appropriate for what she's struggling with, and not something that is going to have lifelong damaging effects and is an excuse to go and smoke pot.
Yeah, and so our experience is that this would call for what you would say would be extreme caution. It's not the norm, but we're also not, you know, trying to out-diagnose a medical doctor, and so you just want to be cautious. That I think that's our best answer. There are a lot of things medically that, you know, perhaps it's the only thing that could help. But just like in any medication or any kind of chemical application, we hope people can stay free. We also hope that whatever they truly need, that they won't feel shame to be on it. If a physician feels like this is the best hope and they're working with that physician and they're getting the kind of results that they were hoping to get. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come right back for more of New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life. So hang on. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
She said, "We need to talk." She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop, take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids
did we become this distant? I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with some encouragement for you this week. If you struggle with anger, divorce, grief, weight loss, or many other things, we believe you can benefit from a life recovery experience. If you want to find a life recovery meeting, we can help you with that. Or if you want to know how to start a life recovery group in your church, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Reba, and she can get you started. Also, we have an app for your smartphone or tablet. It allows you to live stream New Life Live and catch up on archived programs. You can read articles. There are short audio and video teachings as well. Just go to newlife.com and look for the download the app link. It's right at the bottom of the homepage. Steve, back to you.
Thank you, Terry. And I love what Terry was saying in that previous little message there, where he said it doesn't have to be this way. And it doesn't. It does not have to be this way. All right. So we were talking about marijuana, and we just want to say that we're not physicians.
We're not experts on it.
That's right. But our experience is very, very rarely would that need to ever be the solution to something like attention deficit disorder.
Or a 16-year-old, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, as you were saying, Jill, in those brain formative years,
yeah.
Would you sure want to try everything possible other than marijuana in whatever form that it's on in?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's our thought here, and I hope that that's helpful. We're not like a bunch of fuddy-duddies. We're not just against it to be against it. We just have seen such
You see pictures of the brain.
Oh my goodness!
Right when we've had Dr. Amen on.
Yeah, and we've seen so many people truly be honest in what it did to them, and and they didn't get into it thinking that it was going to be something harmful, but it really did turn out to be something very harmful for them, and so we're just trying to help protect people.
Well, and it may reduce anxiety, but long term, it really does zap motivation.
Yeah,
it
affects that part of the frontal cortex.
Mm-hmm. So it's got a lot of side effects.
What can really reduce anxiety, I found in my life, it took a long time to get there, and that was learning to deal with reality in a responsible way.
That is a really good one, Steve.
Yeah, it just took a long time to get there. But you know, if you want less anxiety, you say I'm not doing well here dealing with reality, and rather than just go right into some kind of medication, how about I develop and work on developing skills that help me deal with whatever reality I'm faced with. Then, see, you're not always looking for the chemical solution. And I'll tell you something else that really reduces anxiety is a healthy, godly relationship. You know, that's a great anxiety reducer.
Yes.
And, you know, some people, your anxiety is, well, it's a biological thing, but you're not going to know until you learn some new coping skills, and then in addition to that, you develop some new kinds of relationships, healthy relationships. I'll tell you something else that really is a great anxiety reducer is faith, where you mature in your faith. It's no longer a childlike faith, but it's also based on life in a fallen world where really crummy stuff happens. Those are the kind of things that can... I'll tell you another thing that reduces anxiety, and that's going to see a counselor and talking about your anxiety.
Yeah.
That can... And it's very hard, I think, to communicate accurately your feelings when you're high on marijuana. So just a couple of other ideas there on what we can do to truly deal with whatever it is we're struggling with in the area of anxiety. 1-800-NEW-LIFE will help you find all sorts of stuff if you'll just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Fred. Hi, Fred. How you doing?
Hey, is this Steve?
It is. And Dave and Jill. Hi. We're all here.
And Dave and Jill. So
yes,
I've been listening to you guys for about 3 years. I just really appreciate what y'all do, and I enjoy listening to solutions and people getting helped. And I'm really struggling with something. I saw some things I should have never saw as a very, very young child, and did never get them explained, and kind of hid the pornography that I had seen. I was probably about 7 or 8 when I first saw it. Mm-hmm. And then I started to watch it like every day, like way well before 12 years old. And I grew up in a church home. My dad was a singer. We traveled all around churches, and so I was always involved in that. And I'm just really struggling because I feel like I'm stuck in this rut. Like, I feel like I'm always going back to it. And I remember, I forget what book of the Bible it's in. When he says about a dog, you know, returning to his own vomit. Mm-hmm. And then I also have, you know, also heard about, if you're truly saved, you know, that there's a transformation in your life, and maybe you never really have been saved if you haven't truly transformed. And I feel like I don't know, is that me? Like, am I not saved? Why do I keep going back to this? Why do I struggle with this? It really affects my life and the people that are around me. And
sure. Let me talk to you for a minute. It sounds to me like you got a lot of different issues here. But the one question I would have is, what have you ever done other than to use pornography, feel bad, feel shame, and tell yourself you'll never do it again? Have you ever done anything outside of that?
No.
Okay. So you say you've been listening to us for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You've heard us mention a bunch of guys going to every man's battle. Now, in listening to us,
of course, everyone's scared to do it.
Why wouldn't you think
I
just feel like most people probably have, like, normal problems, and I kind of feel like sometimes, I heard a pastor say one time when he was saying somebody at church came and talked to him, was telling him, man, you got to understand that I've been through this, I've been through that. And the pastor was like, look, I don't want to hear that stuff, you know? And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, why would anybody want to hear this stuff? You know, how am I helping anybody at all by going and telling them, you know? I just don't know. I guess that's what I'm struggling with. And I don't know.
You're not going to help them, you're going to help yourself.
I'm a pastor. Now you can tell people you heard a pastor quote a scripture, not just talk. Here it is, James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. So in answer to your question, why would anybody want to hear this? It's because we're told to hear it. We're told to say it. And we're told to be on the receiving end of hearing it. That's what we do as fellow believers. Now, who are you going to quote? The Bible that I gave you, or some minister saying, I don't want to hear that? That minister, I would have to wonder, well, what's he not willing to share with other people, because the scripture is so clear. We are only as sick as our secrets. And, it's no secret. We're out of time. If you need some help with a secret that you're having, maybe somebody you love, you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.